Thank you. And to our graduates, greetings. Today represents one of the most important and happiest moments of your life. As for me, I'm overwhelmed. I thank Chancellor Weiss for the invitation, which came as quite a surprise to me. The university is a world-class institution. It can be choosy when selecting a commencement speaker, and today you could be listening to a head of state, a global economist, astronaut, or legend in any number of fields, and they could all be Illinois alums. Instead, Chancellor Weiss chose me to address you, the class of 2013. So here am I. Thank you. You're about to hear from a UFI grad who never quite left Champaign, is into pickup trucks, and owns an NFL team that went 2-14 last year. And also probably needs a haircut. I hope to offer some words, some inspiration, and share some lessons that I learned outside the classroom. So, to the class of 2013, I salute you. The walk you'll take out of the Assembly Hall as a graduate of the University of Illinois will be among the most rewarding steps you'll ever take. And that's because when you started this journey about 4 or 5 years ago, you chose a difficult path. You made a choice to attend a university that does not make it very easy to earn a degree. In fact, even for the gifted, graduating from Illinois is difficult. Well done, graduates. You took the hard road, and my experience tells me hard road is almost always the right road. Forgive me if you've heard the story before. It's the power of NFL, and since I became the owner of the Jaguars, the national media kind of scooped part of my presentation here. But I was 16 years old when I arrived alone in Champaign from Pakistan, and we're talking prehistoric times here now, so January of 1967. It was cold, dark, record snowfall, and about 23 inches. My parents had sacrificed greatly to send me here, and it was kind of traumatic to end up in a blizzard, need a place to stay, and find the Illini Union in those days charging $9 a night to stay, which would have been kind of devastating to the budget of $500 I brought with me. So I asked for a better rate. They pointed me to the YMCA, which provided everything for $2 a night. And next morning when I saw a diner hiring dishwashers at $1.20 an hour, I got the job. And literally on my second day, I discovered an element what makes America great. Empowerment, optimism, I can control my destiny. When I finished my engineering course in 1970, the country was in a recession. Jobs were hard to find, especially for foreign students without a green card. So let me see, you need a job to get a green card, but you can't even get a job interview without a green card. So some things 40 years later, I mean, we're still trying to figure out. But here's an interesting trivia that I had picked up prior to graduation working in the engineering placement office as a volunteer working on an Illinois alumni survey. In 1970, the highest earning engineering alum was the owner of two fried chicken restaurants in Terre Haute, Indiana. So yes, there's money in fried chicken, but it was a great insight that maybe I need to broaden my outlook for looking for a job outside the traditional engineering field. So as graduation neared, I was met with another choice. Take the easy road and walk into a graduation ceremony and celebrate, or hit the harder road to find a job quickly. No job, no green card, no American dream. So I made phone calls, printed and mailed resumes, and then I literally walked door to door throughout Illinois looking for a job. And I would explain that with my engineering degree, I could solve any problem and cure any ail anybody ever had. By this time, I had discovered another great American virtue, the art of cold calling. So I finally caught a break, a sit-down ice cream parlor on Neal Street, not too far from here, offered me a job as a night manager. And literally that same day, I heard back from what was then a blacksmith shop in Urbana, making pickup truck accessories called Flexengate. Their draftsman shop guy had quit. Did I want that job? So let's see, the work was hard, hot, dirty, especially compared to the air-conditioned restaurant, and paid about two-thirds of the ice cream job. What should I do? Easy job versus hard job. Of course, I chose the hard job, where I could use some of my engineering knowledge. It was the right call, and it stuck with me throughout my life. Whenever I faced an easy way or a hard way, invariably the hard ways turned out to be the right way. However, at that time, back in 1970, I did question my decision-making. The word was physically and mentally hard. Welding, grinding, fabricating more than a dozen parts just to make one pickup truck bumper. So why not make it out of one piece? Simple idea that had been tried many times before unsuccessfully. And it's a little TMI about metallurgy, but steel, you know, like saran wrap, wrinkles when you shape it, but tears when you hold it tight. So I did the only thing I knew. I went to the engineering library every night after work, went through handbooks and technical journals, and solved the puzzle. As a result, pickup truck bumpers became easier to make, lasted longer, and were lighter. They were also more fuel efficient, cheaper, and better looking. As an engineer, I loved complexity, but I learned that the marketplace rewards simplicity. I worked and saved for 8 years, and with a $50,000 loan from the Small Business Administration, I started my own business in a garage in Danville, Illinois. My customers now were automakers in Detroit and Japan, and not the local farmers and the parts distributors I had gotten to know and love. So another new challenge, a new world for me. I knew nobody, but I took great comfort in cold calling, that American virtue that had helped me find the only full-time job I've ever had. Cold calling in Japan, with help from Japanese graduate students right here from the university, was very productive. We became among the first American suppliers to the Japanese automakers. And over time, with continuous innovation and help and contributions from my coworkers, we grew the small garage business into a multinational, global business with thousands of employees throughout America. And what is really cool, if you are driving an American, German, or a Japanese vehicle, I am touching you. And I hope your ride is smooth. I simply want you to have the courage to take the difficult road as you leave today. Take a chance and respect the power and effectiveness of cold calling. It's almost a novelty today, the idea of picking up a phone or making a visit to sell yourself or what you have to offer. We ask email to make the first impression. We distill our personality and soul into social media. And we ask others to make introductions for us. Technology is almost eroding our social skills. So the marketing graduates here please rebrand the term cold call and make it cool. I became an NFL owner through cold calling. I called and visited the league 6 years ago in New York City, got the names and contacts of various owners, yes, called them and visited them. And 5 years later, presto, when an opportunity arose, I was ready. Yes, you need money, but the opportunity comes from personal contact, trust, relationships. And no, you won't find an NFL team for sale through social media or listed on Craigslist. So to achieve the American dream, it's all on you to make it happen. For football fans, last week I was at the Jaguars rookie minicamp, and you know, this is where college players are trying to make an NFL team. Fewer than one out of 200 college football players make it to the pros. The odds are greatly stacked against you. So I asked one of the players, I said, why do you do this? And he said, I might make the team, and if I don't, I know I gave it my all, and then I'll be able to live with myself. And it really resonated with me, because it kind of makes me think, I mean, am I giving it my all so I'm able to live with myself? This young man was pursuing his version of the American dream. Yours is different. I'm grateful to be living it, and I'm here as evidence that it is possible. 40-some years ago, some people were concerned that as a foreign student and a potential immigrant, I was taking a U.S. citizen's job at a blacksmith shop. Yes, I did take that job, and in the process created thousands of jobs right here in America. Imagine if we fixed immigration, how many more millions of jobs will be created in America? But whether you are foreign-born like me or sons and daughters of Illinois, the American dream belongs to everyone. And to have the opportunity and obligation, all of you have the opportunity and the obligation to seize it all it has to offer. You cannot aspire to anything less. You cannot settle for anything less. And you absolutely cannot accept the inevitability of being told no. It's another one of life's great lessons taught outside the classroom, how to respond to being told no. Let's be honest. As a college student, you've probably gotten used to being told yes by your parents, professors, peers. Yeah, you can study abroad. Yes, you've mastered the material. Yes, those jeans do look really good. There's no doubt we love to hear the word yes. Now, as a college student, you're about to enter the no zone. And I mean the NO zone, like in the weekend, no, the weekend doesn't start on Thursday. That zone. No would become a central theme and important chapter of my life. I invested my life savings, my heart, my soul in 1978 to build bumpers for trucks produced in the U.S. by a major automaker. They loved what I had created, then they told me no. Yes, they needed my designs, but no, they didn't need me to make them. Today, we provide virtually all of their bumpers. And you've heard my story on becoming owner of the Jaguars, but a year earlier, I had an option to purchase a controlling interest on another team. I was close. I was told no. It was disappointing, even heartbreaking. The question at that time was not whether there would be another opportunity. There was. The question was whether I would allow no to be the final word, and I wouldn't. We have to find the inspiration and the fight from no. No is what makes yes possible. As a matter of fact, more than 40 years ago, I suggested to the woman I would eventually marry, Ann Carlson, that I was thinking about growing a mustache. She told me, no. So I want you to see what's possible. So, to the University of Illinois, words cannot express my thanks for allowing me to the honor of addressing you, the class of 2013. To the parents, guardians, siblings, relatives, and friends of the class of 2013, I know I speak for the graduates in thanking you for sharing the moment today. In particular to the moms, let me say on behalf of your kids, and especially the dads, you are amazing. Happy Mother's Day. And to the class of 2013, congratulations. You are coming of age at a remarkable time. The challenges and the opportunities before you probably seem distant and unimaginable when you were a freshman. But in fact, they are real. They are here, and they are all yours now. As you rise to the occasion, make the University of Illinois proud. I imagine there are a number of lucky graduates with jobs lined up. I wish you the best. But the luckier graduates are the ones who do not have the answer today, but are committed to creating their own path, their own job, their own future. As creators, you will face hardship, uncertainty, but in the end, reap unimaginable rewards. I thank you for the time together, and as you walk out, remember, consider the harder road. But whatever your choice, be bold. Don't follow in anybody's footsteps. Those impressions are old and worn, and they're not yours. It's time to create your own imprint. Make it a lasting one. Thank you very much.